Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, May the 5th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to show us the way each day. We thank you for all that you reveal to us. We ask today that you would give us the strength that we may be strong and remain close to your side so that we might do the things that you have called upon us to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Quite often we come across an article, and once we have read the article through, we find that it is general in its discussion, until perhaps we get an opportunity to take a closer look, only to discover that there are things in that article that are quite revealing. There are a couple of articles that I'd like to share with you today that are just like that. The first one is found in the Vox website, that's V-O-X website, and it was printed February the 28th, 2020. The writer of the article is Rebecca Hewell. Let me spell that last name for you. It's H-E-I-L-W-E-I-L, Hewell. And the title of the article is "The Pope's Plan to Fight Back Against the Evil Artificial Intelligence." The title again, "The Pope's Plan to Fight Back Against Evil Artificial Intelligence." Listen to the article. On Friday, Pope Francis backed a document that outlines how artificial intelligence, including facial recognition technology, should be regulated. This so-called Rome call for AI ethics carries the endorsement of the Vatican, as well as Microsoft and IBM. Believe it or not, the future of AI is actually one of the Pope's passion projects and greatest worries. Now, just stop there for a minute. First of all, I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that the Pope is engaged in a fascination, as the article describes it, a passion project of artificial intelligence, including facial recognition technology. Now, of course, the article "Rome Called for AI Ethics" suggests that it should be regulated. Well, the question is, regulated by whom and regulated to do what? And then notice the connection here that is stated in the very first paragraph between the Vatican and Microsoft and IBM. Let's continue. The Vatican's interest in the technology is hardly new, and several of its pontifical academies, essentially research societies under the Pope's authority, are hard at work studying what AI, robotics, and other emerging technologies will mean for the Catholic faith and humanity at large. Let me read that again. The Vatican's interest in the technology is hardly new, and several of its pontifical academies, essentially research societies under the Pope's authority, are hard at work studying what artificial intelligence, robotics, and other emerging technologies will mean for the Catholic faith and humanity at large. Still, the document is a sign that organized religion is increasingly interested in weighing in on the ethics of artificial intelligence and, in the case of the Vatican, working alongside large tech companies in the process. I must confess, when I first saw the article, I just came across it and I said, okay, he's pushing in this direction. And then I read it again, and all of a sudden I realized the very first two paragraphs were incredibly revealing. Continuing. Six general principles for the use of artificial intelligence are at the center of the Rome call, which declares that ethics must be integral to an algorithm's initial design. But notably, none of the outlined principles are particularly new ideas. The Pope's pledge embraces the value that many AI ethics experts have already called for by pointing to values of transparency, non-discrimination, and the right to privacy. That somewhat echoes some of the non-binding AI guidelines the European Union released last year, as well as the Trump administration's guidance for the federal regulation of artificial intelligence released in January. Now, notice now, so we've got now the European Union, and I'm sure you've remembered that we've dealt with this before. We went back and we talked about Winston Churchill back in 1946, made the point that he felt that the only way that he could help to prevent a third world war would be if he could bring all of the nations of Europe together as an economic connection, trading together. And it was working quite well until the Vatican realized that this new economic combination could help them with the revitalization and restarting of the Holy Roman Empire. Well, of course, now we're seeing here in this article that the European Union is also bound into the concept of artificial intelligence. And notice here the article is talking about research such as facial recognition, etc., etc. Continuing. Artificial intelligence systems must be conceived, designed, and implemented to serve and protect human beings and the environment in which they live, the document reads. This fundamental outlook must translate into a commitment to create living conditions, both social and personal, that allow both groups and individual members to strive to fully express themselves where possible. All right, so I probably will have to sit down and discuss how is this facial recognition going to help my privacy. But, of course, that is what his document is saying. Continuing. Alongside these principles is a mandate from the Vatican and its affiliates for artificial intelligence to be explainable to humans. In other words, an artificial intelligence is increasingly applied in consequential contexts like algorithm that screen or resumes and determine whether we're granted parole. We need to understand how artificial intelligence technology makes decisions. Artificial intelligence ethics advocates argue that such explainability is one of the key ways we can hold artificial intelligence-based systems accountable. Now, here we are, and we've just gone through about five paragraphs so far, but now we're already in the midst of the technology, because apparently artificial intelligence, and I'm sure that you're aware of this, but if you're not, you need to know this. Artificial intelligence really is as it sounds. It has the ability to make decisions and to make choices, and not just to identify and be motivated by the things that someone is doing, but it is the kind of computerized system that has the ability to make decisions. Notice what the sentence says. We need to understand how artificially intelligent technology makes decisions. Continuing the article. The Rome Call also emphasizes that artificial intelligence should not be discriminatory, echoing board concerns about algorithm bases. Depending on who builds them, how they're built, and the data on which they're trained. Trained? Okay. Computer systems can end up mimicking and even amplifying societal racism, sexism, and other forms of bias. This is bad, says the Pope. Let me read that sentence again. Let me read the whole paragraph for you. The Rome Call also emphasizes that artificial intelligence should not be discriminatory, echoing board concerns about algorithms and their biases. Depending on who builds them, it says, how they're built, and the data on which they are trained, computer systems can end up mimicking and even amplifying societal racism, sexism, and other forms of bias. This is bad, says the Pope. So he's not objecting to the technology. He's just saying, well, it should be geared in a particular direction, that it enhances the Catholic Church and their view of society. And of course, he's got the attention of those two companies that we mentioned just now, Microsoft and IBM, and I'm sure that there are other companies involved also. Continuing. Also, what might otherwise be bad is facial recognition, one of the most controversial applications of artificial intelligence. This is a particularly buzzworthy topic, as the fallout of the Clearview AI scandal demonstrates how facial recognition technology raises significant concerns about security and human rights. You don't say. However, the Vatican's new statement on the matter does not raise the idea of a complete ban or moratorium on facial recognition, which some critics of the technology say is necessary. Instead, the Vatican simply seems to call for better rules to govern facial recognition technology. New forms of regulations must be encouraged to promote transparency and compliance with ethical principles, the document reads, especially for advanced technologies that have a higher risk of impacting human rights, such as facial recognition. The Catholic Church is actually no stranger to artificial intelligence. In recent years, much of its focus on technology has been in consultation with expert researchers in the field and representatives of major technology companies. The Dominican Order has even supported a priest-led research organization called Optic since 2012, which, among other things, researches artificial intelligence and its potential to marginalize people. The organization also says it provides private consultations to leaders in the tech industry. Meanwhile, the Vatican's Pontifical Academy for Life has hosted workshops on artificial intelligence. The effort extends further, as last year, two more pontifical academies, the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences and the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, hosted a conference on the ethical questions raised by robotics and artificial intelligence. These conferences have been attended by the likes of DeepMind, Demis Habasis, Facebook computer scientist Yam LaCun, and even LinkedIn founder Reid Hoffman. Really? DeepMind? Facebook? LinkedIn? All right. Let's see. The Vatican's much-covered first hackathon in 2018 was also supported by companies such as Google, Salesforce, and Microsoft. The list of Silicon Valley stars hanging out in Rome goes on. The Pope himself has personally met with Microsoft President Brad Smith, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and Google's Eric Schmidt. Earlier this month, the Pope met Smith to discuss how artificial intelligence could serve the common good. And that common good is in parentheses, according to Reuters. So it might not be surprising that the Vatican's vision for artificial intelligence appears to mirror much of what tech giants are already saying. Regulate our new technology, but don't ban it outright. Keep in mind that, as Wired reported last year, tech companies have been actively trying to influence the rules that will govern this new technology. Some, such as Microsoft, are even creating artificial intelligence principles of their own. There's also the Partnership for AI, a corporate-funded nonprofit meant to study best practices for artificial intelligence that is supported by Google, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, Apple, and IBM, among other companies. The Rome Call, and that is the document that the Pope wrote, the Rome Call is just another sign that the Vatican is paying close attention to emerging technology. And for whatever it's worth, tech companies seem eager to come along. while new faith-filled robots and AI-inspired gods stand to shape conversations about the religion in the 21st century, there are also complicated conversations between age-old religious institutions and powerful tech platforms that it would be a mistake to ignore. Now, that article is worth reading again yourself. Read it slowly, because in almost every sentence there is a revelation that is clear. It's found in the Vox website, V-O-X, and it was published on February the 28th, 2020. The writer of the article is Rebecca Healwell, and the title, The Pope's Plan to Fight Back Against Evil Artificial Intelligence. Of course, you're probably wondering, well, how would that be used? Well, they will need to find you. And the they is pretty obvious. I mean, there will be coming a time when those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus will ultimately have to abandon everything that they have and find a place led by the angels to a place of safety. It's pretty obvious that the enemy of souls already knows that. And he already knows that it is going to be quite impossible for human beings to find those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus if they are being taken to a safe place by angels. So perhaps artificial intelligence that has been trained with facial technology and all other pieces of technology might be able to help in the search. We shall wait and see. We shall wait and see. The second article that I'd like you to look at today is also found in Reuters. And the Reuters article was published on January the 24th, 2020. The article was written by Philip Pullella, P-U-L-L-E-L-L-A. And the title of the article is Pence to Pope Francis, You Have Made Me a Hero. That's in parentheses. That's Francis Pence talking. Let me give you the title again. Pence to Pope Francis, You Have Made Me a Hero. Here's that article. Vice President Mike Pence, a former Catholic. I don't think he calls himself a former Catholic, but we'll go with this article. He calls himself a Catholic Protestant. That's what he calls himself. You can check it. Starting again. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence, a former Catholic, held an unusually long meeting with Pope Francis on Friday and quipped that he emerged from the encounter feeling like a hero. Now, this article was written this year, January the 24th. Not too many of you knew that he was with the Pope, did you? Continuing. Pence's talk with France is the papal in the papal library lasted about an hour, twice as long as the meeting between the Pope and U.S. President Donald Trump in the same period, in the same room in May 2017. During an exchange of gifts after the private talks, Francis gave Pence a small white box with a papal medal inside. I didn't want to ask, Pope said with a laugh as the Pope handed him the box. This is for Mom. As he was leaving the papal library, Pence, still clutching the small white box, said, Thank you, Your Holiness. You have made me a hero. God bless you. Pence, who had a strict Irish Catholic upbringing, but later converted to evangelical Protestantism, appeared to be referring to the fact that the rest of his family had stayed in the Roman Catholic Church and that his departure from the faith had put some strain on family relations. During their private talks, Pence and the Pope discussed, among other topics, Friday's March for Life, anti-abortion demonstrations in Washington, the vice president's office said. Trump will become the first U.S. president to attend the annual rally. Thousands of people from around the country converged on the nation's capital for the event, which began in 1973, after the U.S. Supreme Court, in its Roe v. Wade decision, established a woman's constitutional right to have an abortion. After meeting with the Pope, Pence discussed global hotspots, including the situation in Venezuela, in separate talks with the Vatican Secretary of State, Pence office said that they were indeed looking at some other issues in the world. Francis also gave Pence some of his recent writings, including his World Day of Peace message for this year, and Pence gave the Pope a wooden cross made from a tree in the Vice President's official residence. I want to extend the warmest greetings on behalf of President Donald Trump, who so enjoyed his visit here, Pence said at the start of the meeting. Pence introduced his wife, Karen, to Pope Francis. He also introduced the rest of the delegation, including U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican, Gingrich, and her husband, Newt Gingrich, the former Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. He was later given a tour of the Sistine Chapel. From the Vatican, he went to meetings with Italy's President, Sergio Mattarella, and Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte. Pence flew to Italy from Israel, where he had attended events commemorating the 75th anniversary of the liberation of the Auschwitz death camp. And, of course, that's a very brief article, and it seems harmless enough, but you notice that he spent some time discussing some rather important issues with the Pope. And he says that the Pope had made him a hero. And nobody knows exactly all of what passed between the two of them. That second article is found in Reuters website, published January the 24th, 2020. There's one other article that I'm going to leave for next time, but I'll just give you the topic. It's found in the Telegraph, and it was published on the 20th of March, 2013. Pope Francis calls for respect for all religions. We'll deal with that at another time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you in your love and protective overview of us have warned us in advance of all of the things that will come to pass. We see the merging of attitudes and politics and belief systems, and we see where the coming together of all that you have told us will come together, and the preparation to go after those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus is bearing fruit already. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to be ready to stand with you and not be afraid, for there is nothing to fear as long as you are keeping us close. We thank you in advance for all that you will do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, May the 5th, 2020.